This is Andy Griffith. Karen Mahoney doesn't have a care in the world, and why should she? She's living in a bustling metropolis, New York, and doing what she enjoys doing, temporary secretarial work. She's even married to the man of her dreams. But into each life, a little rain must fall, or at least a monkey wrench must fall now and then, because things aren't meant to go smoothly all the time. With that in mind, Karen's received instructions to report to an office on the 34th floor of a skyscraper in Manhattan for work. That's precisely where she is right now.
Come in. Oh, quick, close the door. You've let all my lovely creatures out.
I'm sorry. Oh, where are you? I heard your voice, but I can't see you with all these plants and trees and birds in here.
I reckon the inner office, dear Ace. Now, follow Herman the Rabbit. He knows the way.
Herman the Rabbit? What's going on here?
Are you coming, dear?
Yes, I'm coming. None of these plants are poisonous, are they? I mean, I won't get poison ivy, will I?
Oh, of course not. And don't step on Sheldon the tortoise.
Oh, excuse me, Sheldon. Am I in the inner office yet?
Not yet. Make a left turn at the philodendron, dearie.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, and you must be the young lady from the temporary secretarial service.
And this must be the office that requested temporary help. May I ask the name of this company?
Oh, there isn't any company here.
Oh, well, whose office is this?
Why, it's my office.
Well, then, who are you?
I'm Mother Nature, dearie.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater. A new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Nature's Way, by Mark Trella. Our stars, Eve Arden, Gene Gillespie, and Michael Miner.
Karen Mahoney finds herself in an office that's more like a greenhouse, facing an elderly lady who calls herself Mother Nature. Sound interesting? Let's hear some more.
I couldn't be sure with all that noise, but did you just say that you were Mother Nature?
I certainly did, dearie.
That's what I thought you said. Why would you say something like that, anyway?
Because it's true. Don't you believe me?
Oh, it's not that I don't believe you. I mean, this is a free country, and you can call yourself whatever you like. It's just that I wasn't expecting anything like this up here.
My office is a bit unusual, isn't it? You see, I like to create an atmosphere wherever I am, to surround myself with natural elements, even in a setting as unnatural as the 34th floor of this skyscraper.
You've certainly succeeded. There are plants here that probably belong in an Amazon rainforest.
And some creatures as well.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, you'll find out soon enough. Now then, what is your name, young lady?
It's Karen, Mother Nature, Karen Mahoney.
Oh, please, Karen, call me Mother for short. And I think you'll get along very nicely with this little creature. Her name is Karen also.
Oh, she's so beautiful. May I hold her?
Oh, why, certainly. Oh. I haven't met a kitten yet who didn't like to be held. Oh, you're so right, Howard.
Howard?
He's the chipmunk peering over your left shoulder.
Hello, Howard. What did you just say?
He said I should interview you to make sure you're right for the job.
Howard said that?
Oh, yes. He's very efficient and business-oriented. He likes to think he's the office manager.
I understand.
Now, let me see where to begin. It's obvious that you like animals and they like you. Oh, that's a very good question, Howard.
What's that?
Howard would like to know if you'll be attending the office Christmas party.
But this is July.
Howard likes to plan ahead.
Assuming that I'm still here in December, I'd love to attend the office Christmas party.
Fine. Now, next question. How do you feel about pollution?
I think it's just awful. There's absolutely no reason for it, and I think we should get rid of it.
How?
Oh, I don't know. By just not doing it anymore, I guess.
Oh, very good observation, Howard.
What's that?
Howard said that humans should follow the example of the animal kingdom. He says he doesn't know of any animals that pollute. Oh, I didn't mean to misquote you, Howard. Howard says he has a cousin who runs an acorn factory in Poughkeepsie, but outside of him, he doesn't know any animal polluters personally. I just thought of a question. What is the most obnoxious pollutant known to man and nature?
Oh, gee, that's a tough one. A television?
Oh, that's very funny. How do you feel about snakes, Karen?
Snakes?
Oh, don't be afraid, dear. That's Willie. He's the boa constrictor around here.
Could you please have Willie uncoil himself from around my leg?
Oh, Karen, that's just his way of greeting. He can't shake hands, you know.
I know. Could you please call him off?
That's enough affection for now, Willie. There'll be plenty of time for you two to get acquainted after Karen becomes a regular member of our staff. I think he's taken a liking to you, Karen.
Just my luck.
He really didn't have much time to become fond of the previous girls who worked here.
Oh, why is that, Mother?
Well, none of the girls stayed here longer than a day. In fact, most of them never returned from their lunch hours. I simply must find someone who is interested and dedicated.
Not to mention impervious to reptile attacks.
Well, it helps to be thick-skinned in this office, especially when Howard gets in a foul mood.
Howard has an acid tongue?
He's the Don Rickles of the animal kingdom.
All right, I won't pay any attention to her, Howard. I just understood what Howard said.
Well, it's really quite simple, isn't it? Of course, Howard is a bit easier to understand than, say, Alphonse, our praying mantis. And it does take Sheldon the tortoise forever to get his sentences out. But in time, you will be able to understand all of nature's creatures.
I will?
Why, certainly, dearie. That is one of this job's fringe benefits. You can commune with nature while you work.
Since we're talking about the job, Mother, what exactly will my duties be?
There'll be some light typing, some dictation, snake sitting with Willie, and some pruning and trimming of the office vegetation. Of course, Howard will help you with Willie. Oh, yes, you will, Howard. It is not nice to disobey Mother Nature.
And what is my job title, Mother?
Job title? Job title? Oh, goodness. We never had anyone stay long enough to ask that question. How about insector?
You mean inspector?
No, you'll be dealing with insects a good deal of the time.
Oh, I don't think I like that title, Mother.
All right. Well, how about something contemporary, like vice president person or office human?
Well, that's not what I had in mind.
That's not a bad idea, Howard. Oh,
I think that's a marvelous suggestion myself.
Then it's settled. Karen Mahoney will be an emissary.
That's not to be confused with commissary.
Quite right, Karen.
By the way, Mother, how much money will I be making?
Oh, dear. Now, that's another thing we never had to worry about before. May I have a short conference with Howard?
Oh, why, of course. I'll amuse myself with this rubber plant.
How much money do we have in the budget, Howard? Oh, dear, we certainly don't want to lose Karen because we can't afford her. She seems like the sort of person I've been looking for. Are you sure you can't find a little more money? Oh, I could kiss you, Howard. But you'll settle for an extra acorn in your pay envelope. Karen, we have decided what we can pay you for your services.
Now, I don't want to put you in a bind. I just need enough to pay the rent and keep my husband happy.
We hope we're offering you enough. We'd hate to lose you because we can't afford you.
Oh, actually, I'm very reasonable, honest. Make me an offer.
You tell her, Howard.
$1,000 a week.
Oh, goodness, we've upset her. I knew it wasn't enough money. We've embarrassed her, Howard. Well, do something. Get her a glass of water.
No, I'll be fine. Honest, I will.
Oh, Karen, we apologize for throwing you into a coughing fit with our puny offer.
Puny? I was coughing because I couldn't believe you're going to pay me that much.
Well, then you'll be our emissary.
Oh, you bet. For $1,000 a week, I'll even snake sit with Willie.
Good.
We've already met Mother Nature and Karen Mahoney. Now we're about to meet Karen's husband, Alan. A word of warning, though. Alan's a human jukebox. He spends his days inside a gaily colored cardboard box on the streets of New York playing the kazoo. Right now he's rehearsing a new number with a monkey named Leon.
Welcome home, breadwinner.
Oh, thank you. What is that?
You mean, who is that? Meet Leon, the dancing monkey. Hit it, Leon. What do you think?
I think you need a dancing monkey, like California needs another earthquake.
Very clever. Now watch this. Isn't it amazing how he salutes and stands at attention? Just wait till I get him a little sailor's outfit. This is the best idea I've had yet.
So you're abandoning the human jukebox?
Well, I thought I'd try a different approach.
Like dragging this poor little monkey all over New York and forcing him to perform while you reap the profits.
Well, you make it sound so terrible.
Have you asked Leon what he thinks about your scheme?
Well, why should I ask him? Next thing you know, you'll want me to get a signed permission slip from his parents.
Oh, here, let me have him. What do you think about all this, Leon? Oh, you don't say.
Come on, Karen. You don't expect me to believe that you actually understand what he's trying to...
Really? Well, if that's what you want, Leon.
Well, what did he say?
He said he'd love to do it.
I'll be a monkey's uncle. Since when did you learn how to, understand animals?
Today, at work. My new job involves contact with animals, and I need to know how to communicate with them.
Oh, so you're working with a vet?
Not really. She's an elderly lady, just a bit eccentric, and she calls herself Mother Nature.
Naturally.
Her office is on the 34th floor of the Scrivener building, and it's crammed with flowers and plants and animals.
And she's paying you peanuts.
Oh, no. No, she isn't. I'll be making $1,000 a week.
$1,000 a week? Who is this lady?
I told you. Mother Nature.
I don't know, Karen. I think you've gotten yourself mixed up in something very strange.
You're going to put a monkey in a sailor suit and play the kazoo on street corners, and you're calling my job strange?
Well, look, I'm concerned about your well-being. You don't know anything about this lady. She might be off a rocker. You ever think of that?
Well, I'll admit I was a little skeptical at first, but after a while I began to believe her.
Well, she sounds a little loony to me. What if she can't pay you what she says she's going to pay you?
I don't think she's the kind of person who makes promises and then breaks them.
But you're not sure, are you?
Well,
she'd better give you some kind of proof that she's who she says she is and will pay you what she says she will, or else you can't work for her.
Well, I guess you're right.
Sure I am. Now, first thing in the morning, you go in there and tell her.
Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mother.
Now, do come in and have a seat. But watch out for Sheldon the tortoise. Mm-hmm. Now then, tell me how your husband reacted when he learned about your new position.
Well, he wasn't exactly thrilled, and he wasn't exactly upset.
Oh, one of those types, is he? He probably dislikes the fact that you'll be making more money than he does.
Quite honestly, Mother, I could panhandle and make more money than Alan does.
So why is he less than enthusiastic about this opportunity for you?
Well, he thinks that you might be... a little eccentric?
You mean off my rocker?
Something like that.
which really means that he doesn't think that I am Mother Nature, and he also doubts I will be able to pay you our agreed-upon salary.
I'm afraid that's it in a nutshell, Mother.
And do you feel the same way, Karen?
I could stand some convincing.
Well, we can't have any doubting Thomases or Karens aboard, can we? I assume your quandary might be quelled by a demonstration of sorts.
If you mean I'd believe you if you gave me some proof, sure.
Then I shall proceed. If you would reach behind that hibiscus, you'll find some coal. Please hand me a piece.
Here you are, Mother.
Now then, you are well aware that some minerals, when placed under extreme heat for extended periods of time, change into different minerals.
Mm-hmm.
This lump of coal isn't much to look at now. It's dull and black. However, if I place it between my hands like this and exert, say, 2 million years of stress like this, when I open my hands, the coal has changed into...
A diamond!
Precisely, dearie.
Oh, it's beautiful, Mother.
Well, of course it is. Mother Nature wouldn't dream of making an ugly diamond.
That's absolutely incredible, Mother.
Of course. And you are now convinced.
Absolutely.
But you'd really like to know what on earth I am up to and how you fit into the grand scheme.
You've certainly piqued my interest.
Good. I have appeared at this time, Karen, because our planet is in a bad way. If I can find some evidence that mankind is seeking to reverse its harmful course, I will then return to the natural environs I so dearly love.
What sort of evidence are we talking about, Mother?
Shh, I'm thinking. Well, something besides a tiny wildlife sanctuary or a new wilderness area.
And what's wrong with those?
Oh, don't misunderstand me, Karen. They are marvelous gestures, but that's all they are. They don't go deep enough.
You mean it's a people problem?
Exactly, my dear.
So you came to New York to try the Madison Avenue approach. Advertising, catchy slogans, happy jingles.
Mother Nature must keep abreast of the times.
If you ask me, it's a big waste of time and money.
Then what do you suggest?
I suggest you take your case to the people. If you tell them the situation, they're bound to take your side.
Oh, no, I'm afraid I can't be walking out on the streets. I'm much too busy. And besides, it's dangerous out there. I have an idea. My little demonstration convinced you, right?
Oh, it was a real showstopper, Mother.
By extension, if I were to conduct a large-scale demonstration for the entire world, that might convince people to be more considerate of the environment.
Well, that all depends. What sort of demonstration did you have in mind?
Something on the destructive side. A mild cataclysm, perhaps.
You mean people would be hurt?
Oh, don't misunderstand me, Karen. I'm not a violent person by nature. But there are times when a grand display, such as the one I have in mind, is the best remedy imaginable. It gives one such a sense of accomplishment to destroy something.
Don't you even care that innocent people might be hurt?
Oh, my dear Karen, all of us are polluters, so how can anyone be innocent?
Now, wait just a minute. I don't think you're being one bit fair. I believe there are people out there who right this very minute are leading sane and non-destructive lives in harmony with nature.
That's a very moving speech, my dear. You've convinced the creatures, obviously, but you haven't convinced me.
Well, I guess I'll just have to prove it then, won't I?
I would think that is the only option left to humanity.
How many non-polluting people would it take to convince you not to obliterate the human race?
Now, I do want to be completely fair about this.
Well, I'm sure you will be.
And I don't want to set a goal which you couldn't possibly achieve.
Don't worry about that, Mother. I'm confident I can find whatever number you set as the limit.
Very well, then. If you can find 3 responsible people within the next 2 weeks... I, Mother Nature, will not unleash my destructive forces on humanity.
3, is that all?
That's all, dearie.
Well, that doesn't sound too difficult. I should be able to find 3 people by the end of this week.
We'll see about that, dearie. We'll see about that.
If Karen Mahoney can find three people who don't pollute, Mother Nature won't unleash her destructive forces on humankind. Just three non-polluting people. That's all. Let's hear how she does.
Mother Nature gave me 2 weeks to find those three people. I think that's more than enough time. I just need to figure out how I'm going to find them.
Did you talk to this Mother Nature about being a weirdo? I mean, she's not going to blow up the Bronx, is she?
No way, Alan. She's the genuine article.
What makes you say that?
Well, she conducted a very convincing demonstration for me.
Hmm? What sort of a demonstration?
Well, she took a piece of coal and changed it into a diamond.
I'll be a monkey's uncle. A real diamond?
Uh-huh. I actually held it.
And you say she does this trick with ordinary coal?
Uh-huh. Black, dull, and very ordinary. Where are you going, Alan?
Find myself some coal.
And so, while Alan went in search of coal, Karen went in search of three special people she needed to find. She spoke with many people from all walks of life, always the same result. Everyone polluted the environment in some way, but Karen did find some unusual offenders, and one person in particular was worthy of note.
That man over there just picked up some litter. Maybe he might be a non-polluter. Excuse me, sir. May I ask you a few questions?
Sorry, lady. I gotta get back to work.
I'd like to find out why you picked up that piece of trash.
That wasn't trash. It was my lunch. Look, my boss could be coming any second.
Oh, this won't take long, I promise.
When my boss says take a 15-minute break, he means 15 minutes. I really gotta get back to work.
Can't we talk while you work?
You could try.
What do you mean? I know what you're doing about pollution.
What were you saying?
I said, what are you doing about pollution?
Oh, there's my boss.
About pollution.
What am I doing about what?
About pollution. About pollution.
In the first place, I don't know too much about it.
Well, let me explain. There are many kinds of pollution. There's air pollution, there's water pollution.
Oh, there's my boss again.
There's oil pollution, there's pollution, and there's noise pollution.
What was that last one?
Noise pollution.
Oh, noise pollution. Like a loud, continuous, irritating noise.
Exactly.
Why, I think that's terrible, inconsiderate, and irresponsible. And I think anyone caught doing it should be given a ticket or something.
Then shouldn't you be given a ticket?
Me? What for?
For making a loud, continuous, irritating noise with that thing.
Hey, this is different. This is how I make my living.
Yeah, but it's still pollution, isn't it?
Uh-oh, there's my boss again.
Uh-oh, he's right.
Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Oh, Karen, my dear. You sound depressed. Is something the matter?
I've been interviewing people for days on end, and I can't seem to find anyone who even cares about the environment.
So you haven't found a single person?
I haven't even found a married person.
And time is running out.
How much time do I have left, Mother?
Well, let me see. My sundial says one thing, and my sand timer another. I think you've run out of time, my dear.
Andy Griffith again, and here's the fourth act of Nature's Way. You know, I'd hate to be in Karen Mahoney's shoes right now because her time has run out, and Mother Nature is ready to lower the boom on humanity.
That can't possibly be right, Mother. I thought I had at least 2 more days.
Well, I could be wrong, you know. Mother Nature does make a mistake now and then. I remember when I thought it might be cute to put wings on a fish.
Mother, time is of the essence.
And then I tried
please,
to
give
put
me one more day.
Form of attire on those odd birds I found in the Arctic. And then
Mother, you're not listening to me.
Of course I am, dearie. You want me to give you one more day. Do you honestly think you can find three people in one day?
Look, I won't sleep a wink, Mother. I'll keep going until I drop. I'll never give up.
Perhaps it might be easier if you only needed to find one person.
I've got several solid leads, and I know I can find three people if you'll just give me...
Karen, you're not listening to me.
Of course I am. You said I only have to find one person now.
Oh, Karen, it's not nice to trick Mother Nature.
I'll see you in 24 hours, Mother. Bye.
Seven, 48, 49, 50.
I'm home.
51, 52.
Alan.
53.
What are you doing?
Counting our fortune.
That's coal, Alan. Ordinary black coal. Are you sure you're all right?
Now it is ordinary black coal. However, if you take in one piece of coal to Mother Nature and have her do her number on it, I figure in 2 months we'll be financially independent and I won't have to work.
How is that any different from now?
All right, then you won't have to work.
Oh, forget it, Alan. What about your monkey ski?
Leon ran away.
Oh, gee, that's too bad.
Well, that's why it's important to take advantage of this new opportunity. Come on, Karen.
Alan, you're just like everyone else, worrying about your own little world while the real world is going down the tube. Well, this city is in the middle of the worst heat wave in years. Energy consumption is at an all-time high. It hasn't even drizzled here in 2 weeks.
All right, already. So what can I do about it?
Think. Do you know of one single person who might not be guilty of polluting? Just one. That's all I need.
Gee, that's a tough one. Well, let's see. There's Harvey. No. And Milo. No, he's no good either. Oh, wait. Felix Hoopelman. He's your man.
Felix Hoopelman?
You're right. He belongs to an environmental group. Save the Speckled Gecko or something.
Oh, of course. An environmental group. Why didn't I think of that?
Why, certainly, Mr. Mayor. I guarantee that declaring next Tuesday Save the Speckled Gecko Day will increase your support among the concerned environmentalists in this city. Yes, sir. Well, thank you, sir. Goodbye. Well, hello there.
Mr. Hoopelman, I'm Karen Mahoney, Alan's wife.
Felix, please. Yeah, Alan called and said you were coming over. Have a seat.
Thank you. Oh, my, you certainly seem busy here.
Oh, yes, saving the speckled gecko is a 24-hour-a-day job, you know.
Pardon my ignorance, but I don't know what a speckled gecko is.
Well, you're not alone, my dear. The average person not only doesn't know what a speckled gecko is, he doesn't even care. Can you believe that?
Oh, yes. I've found that apathy concerning environmental issues is prevalent among people today.
Not only that, they just don't care about our little friend here. This is his picture. We call him Spanky.
Kind of homely, isn't he?
Well, Mother Nature, in her infinite wisdom, provided the speckled gecko with drab coloration and homely features so that he could survive against his predators. But now a new predator threatens to eliminate this harmless creature who calls the rocky nooks and crannies around the Bay of Bengal his home.
And what predator is that, Felix?
Pollution and environmental contaminants, of course.
Oh, right, absolutely.
Yes, it's a well-known fact that large corporations, in their endless search for new sources of energy, have despoiled the natural treasures of this planet and dislodged Mother Nature's creatures from their centuries-old homes. What's more, they've shown a callous disregard to the plight of these creatures, and they have turned a deaf ear to the enraged outcries of sincere environmental efforts such as this one.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mr. Hoopelman.
Felix, please. I'm sorry, Alan said something about your asking me questions, and here I am lecturing away about irresponsible corporations and insensitive leaders.
I don't mind. I find it very refreshing and inspiring.
Well, of course, you realize that in the end, rhetoric is meaningless. I mean, only action to save our endangered friends in the animal kingdom really counts for anything.
Oh, you're so right, Mr. Hoover. Felix.
Hey, I'm just about to leave for the day. Can I give you a lift somewhere?
Oh, that would be nice. Felix, there's someone I'd like you to meet. Someone who shares the same lofty ideals as you. Someone in a position to really do something about the environment and pollution.
Well, if it's all the same,
I'd rather get to know you a little better.
Oh, well, who knows? If my friend approves, you and I might even work together.
Yeah, I'd like that. Where to?
The Scrivener Building.
Okay, here we go.
Felix, this car doesn't sound like it's tuned properly.
I'm sure it isn't, but I haven't had time to attend to it. I've been so busy.
Do you know that we're trailing a smoke screen behind us?
Yeah, it burns a little oil. But I'm getting a new car, an ecologically sane one. You see, as treasurer of Save the Speckled Gecko, I am entitled to make withdrawals from time to time for my own personal expenses. And I almost have enough to buy a new car.
But in the meantime, you'll continue driving this smoke-belching monstrosity.
Well, I have to get to my job.
I see. You can let me out here, Mr. Hoopelman.
Yeah, so you see, Mother Nature, I'm at my wit's end.
Yes, I see, Mr.
Mahoney. Alan Mahoney.
Mahoney? You wouldn't happen to be Karen's husband.
Karen? Oh, no, I'm not married. I'm a sincere, hardworking graduate student engaged in research.
Oh, what sort of research, Mr. Mahoney?
Oh, call it modern alchemy, if you will. But I'm trying to find a way to transmute coal into oil or gas or anything that will help us through this energy crisis.
And you think I might have a philosopher's stone which would enable you to do this?
Exactly. We could be partners, if you like. Now, I just happen to have some coal with me.
I'm curious, Mr. Mahoney. Why did you choose coal?
Oh, I just had a hunch at my work.
You know, it's not very nice to trick Mother Nature.
Trick Mother Nature?
You want me to change your coal into diamonds so you will never have to work again.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Yes, that is exactly what you will be. Better yet, a monkey in a sailor suit. Oh, how darling you've become, Mr. Mahoney. Who's there?
It's Karen, Mother.
Oh, we're in back, dearie.
Mother, we need to have another discussion. Oh, you found Leon.
Leon?
Yes, that's my husband's monkey. He ran away.
I have news for you, Karen. My name isn't Leon.
I thought I heard that monkey say his name isn't Leon.
Well, I don't believe it is. He told me his name was Mahoney. Alan Mahoney.
That's my husband's name.
Oh? He said he wasn't married.
The monkey?
No, the man.
I'm confused, Mother. There was a man here with a monkey?
No. The man tried to make a monkey out of Mother Nature, so I had to make a monkey out of him.
Is that you, Alan?
It ain't Bugs Bunny.
Then you have met.
Mother, could you change this monkey back into my husband?
If it will end this monkey business, of course. You know, young man, it isn't nice to trick Mother Nature.
I got that impression.
Now then, Karen, what shall we discuss?
This search. It's going very badly. Isn't there some other condition I could fulfill so that a natural disaster could be averted?
I think not, dearie. Why, unbeknownst to you, I've even sent Howard out to assist you.
Howard the chipmunk?
Yes, of course. He's very observant and he covers a lot of ground.
Has he had any luck?
I really don't know. He's very bad about reporting in.
Oh, then it is hopeless. Why don't you just unleash your destructive forces and get it over with?
Now, what sort of attitude is that, Karen? You still have 1 hour left. Maybe you'll find Howard and he'll have a lead for you.
How did I ever get mixed up in this in the first place?
Don't be depressed, kiddo.
Depressed? My husband is turned into a monkey. A woman calling herself Mother Nature plans to destroy the world. I'm supposed to contact a talking chipmunk named Howard. And you tell me not to be depressed.
Out again.
I imagine Mother Nature had something to do with this.
It's the fifth day in a row that temperatures have been in the 90s, with no relief in sight.
I suppose we'll continue our search to the bitter end. Did you hear something?
Not a thing.
There it is again. That's Howard. Where are you, Howard? Howard! Oh, am I glad to see you. I know there isn't much time, but have you found anyone who doesn't pollute? You did? Who is it? That man over there? Oh, you mean that lady over there? You can't mean that man over there, can you?
That's the one? You sure Howard isn't putting us on? I mean, maybe the heat's gotten to
him. No, Howard insists that's the man. He said to watch him. He's picking up paper and cigarette butts, and he's putting them in the trash.
Now, don't be ridiculous, Karen. He's the last person you'd expect.
No, Alan, I have a feeling Howard is right. That man over there is our man.
That's impossible, Karen. That man happens to be a garbage man. Excuse me, sir, but you'll have to come with us.
It's a matter of life and death.
I'm sorry, but I can't leave my job.
Like the lady says, it's a matter of life and death.
Hey, where are you taking me? Help!
We found him, Mother Nature. We found him.
Hey, the office is empty.
What? I don't understand.
I think I do. You people are crazy. Kidnapping a sanitation engineer and dragging him up to an empty office and yelling and carrying on like that.
I don't understand. I thought we finally found the right person.
Hey, what's going on here? It's starting to drizzle inside this office.
He's right, Karen. It is raining.
I think she's trying to tell us something, Alan. It's Mother Nature's way of telling us something. Does this mean we're safe, Mother Nature?
For the time being, dearie. For the time being.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Nature's Way, was written by Mark Trella and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your host was Andy Griffith. Our stars were Eve Arden, Gene Gillespie, and Michael Miner. Featured in the cast were Stanley Director and Jack Edwards. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
This is Vincent Price. Join us tomorrow. I'll have another story to astonish and mystify you.